This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Saturday Magazine, sponsored by Velocity Rewards,
the award-winning loyalty program for Virgin Australia's frequent flyers.
Saturday Magazine, every Saturday from 10 until noon on Joy 94.9.
This is Saturday Magazine on Joy 94.9. Ange Barry, CEO of Joy 94.9, is the guest co-host joining Fiona Brooke.
We still have one more guest. They are in a vehicle on their way here, running a bit late, but that is a pretty interesting story. What we're going to be talking about is centres around Colac.
Yes.
It's really deep and dark and scary and mysterious. Mm. It's a bit Deliverance.
Yep.
And you're from that area.
Well,
no, not from that area. You have family there, right?
Yeah, I have family, actually. From mum's side of the family, their surname is a well-known surname in that area, which is Cunningham. And their ancestors are Armstead. And the Armstead family is very big in Colac, and the Cunningham family is very big in Geelong. And basically, a lot of settlers to Australia did go to that area, particularly if you were from the timber industry, because as we know, there's large forest all around
there
the space
was there. There was a lot of large forest.
And as a confessed and proud greenie, it's obviously a bit difficult to talk about this part of, you know, family history. However, as we know, relevant at the time, an industry at the time, and a very important one, and still tends, you know, is still obviously sustainable. Logging is a very important industry in our country. I guess from my knowledge of Colac, I particularly was absolutely fortunate to have relatives in Gellibrand, which is a very small town. Oh. So not many people know of Gellibrand, but it's one of the most beautiful spots in Victoria.
It is a beautiful
town. I adore it, and I was lucky as a child to go and spend many weekends there and to run through the disused timber mill that the cousins had, but also to be able to access places, beautiful places like Beach Forest and Johanna Beach, and I really recommend if you haven't been down that way, our Otway Ranges are absolutely stunning and
they
very
are.
Much worth a visit. For some context for the story and the book that we're going to discuss, it's also a very, I guess, traditional part of Victoria in that people have been there and settled there a long, long time. So the backdrop for the story is, you know, a part of our history and heritage that is quite traditional in their values, you might say. So it's
you could say that this particular book that we're about to talk about, and in actual fact, I think our guests have just arrived. The book is called The Devil's Grip.
Right.
It's by Neil Drynan, and Neil is coming in the studio right now. Welcome, 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 gentlemen. They're just taking their bags off. We have Neil Drynan, author, and Bob Perry. Welcome to the program, both of you.
Hello, Fiona. It's great to be here.
Fantastic. So that little ride from Collingwood was a little bit chaotic, I could gather.
Well, I just don't understand all this Uber sharing. There were people getting in and out all over the place, and I don't know. I'm baffled.
Yeah, I'm not a pool fan. I don't need to waste time diddling around. If I need to get somewhere, I need to get somewhere, and I don't need to be diddling with someone else's destinations and stuff. But anyway, now what we need to give you a little context, because I was just introducing the book, and Ange over here.
Lovely to meet you both.
Is the CEO of Joy. Ange was just telling us a little bit of background because she has family from Gellibrand and from Colac and knows the area. So we were just building a little context in there to sort of introduce really the story.
Yep.
And I was just actually telling listeners the name of the book and introducing Neil when you guys ran in. So it's all very dramatic, which is kind of like the book, really.
Yeah, an incredible story. And my family, I just want to throw one last thing in, Fiona. It was your traditional Uncle Arthur. He was Uncle Arthur.
Ooh.
Just setting the scene. He was okay. Uncle Arthur, who owned the timber mill. A great man.
So the book, I must say that the press release is rather outlandish in its copy line, which is a true story of shame, sheep, and shotguns.
which kind of harks back to a whole lot of traditions of secrecy and shame and living with homosexuality in regional parts of Australia, which is kind of where Bob and I came from when we came up with this story. It's really Bob's story, and he can tell you a bit about why it's sheep, shame and shotguns. Can you, Bob?
Oh, I guess I can. How are you, Fiona?
I'm really super. Thanks, Bob. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having us. It's been hectic, but we got here. Now, jump straight in. The book. We wanted to tell the story, or I felt I needed to tell the story, just to try and help young people, I guess, more importantly, and that's right in the road. It's a true story.
Mm-hmm.
It's not about, well, it is about shame, sheep and all that stuff, but there's a lot bigger than that.
I hope
it is, at least.
Yeah, once you read into the media release and you read more of the background, there is so much more. In fact, that byline does a disservice to the book.
It's a little bit misleading, hopefully people will buy it. And hopefully people will look into it, and they are coming back to Neil and I and saying there's a lot more to it. It's a great book. We've had great reviews on it, and we're happy with it. Neil's done all the work.
And one of the things I think Bob and I realised, because we were friends for a few years before we wrote this book, and this particular murder, this triple murder that happened in 1992 in Ceres, which is just outside of Geelong, was a huge story at the time, but there were so many elements that weren't really explored. And what Bob and I realised as two generations of gay men, we're sort of 15 years apart in age, was that while he was living a secret life with Darcy Wettenhall, who was one of the murdered victims, and I was a journalist for the gay press in the 1980s, and AIDS was barking at everyone's heels at that particular time, that there was this story about secrecy and terror and homophobia that ultimately ended in this triple murder for a whole range of reasons. And when we started working on this, we didn't really realise how many stories we'd be telling at once, did we, Bob?
No, it led on. It went on and on. There's so much to the book, and it's so hard to sit here and tell you the story.
So maybe you could give us a little bit of a brief summation of the murders, because for a lot of people that may never have heard about what happened there, maybe we can get a little understanding of what happened.
Well, basically, three people were murdered in one night by a farm worker, or someone who appeared to be a farm worker. This happened in 1992, in March of 1992, and it happened a year after Bob had left this property. He'd lived there on Stanbury, which was an internationally renowned sheep stud. He'd lived there as Darcy's secret lover in another house on the same property that he shared with Darcy's son and Janet Wettenhall, who was effectively a cousin of Darcy's, who owned the property. And what had happened was Bob had left because he wanted to come out as being gay. He wanted to move to the city and he wanted to leave behind this kind of secrecy. Bob also had three children, and so both he and Darcy had children and didn't really want the children to be affected by the shame of having gay dads when they were growing up in the 80s. But Bob kind of changed his mind about that, left, and Darcy stayed there and started bringing home men who were dangerous and creating conflicts that ultimately were deadly.
Oh my goodness.
Bob, it's a very traumatic experience you've had. You know, how do you feel about telling the story, and you know, how do you live your life these days knowing that this happened? And you know, it's significant trauma.
I think we all evolve.
Yeah.
And since I've met Neil down at the bookshop and in Colac, I was sort of living the life of a recluse down there for the last 10 years. And then I met Neil, and it just seemed right that the story should be told. Though I was hearing things that were wrong. Nobody knows the story except me. And it was annoying me that I was hearing stories about Darce that were obviously wrong.
Yes.
Pedophilia was one of the ones that came up. Das wasn't a pedophile.
Yeah.
Gay people dislike pedophiles as much as...
Correct.
Dare I say ordinary people.
Yes.
And that annoyed me. So I just, and we just on an off chance, I said to Neil, I knew he was an author, I'd read his books, and I said, well, I've got a story that I would like you to tell.
Yeah.
He wasn't all that keen at the start, I must admit.
Sure.
Because he knew nothing about it.
Yeah.
But then his partner, Pete, he's a local farmer down at near Geelong. He knew the story and he thought, oh, that is the story that should be told.
Yep.
And we told the story. It's a story that is important, I think.
Yep.
It's an important story, not because of the murders and all that sort of thing that happened to Darth.
Sure.
But the undercurrents that caused it, the secrecy that we had to go through.
Yeah.
And I get indignant, really, because people deny us the rights that the gay marriage thing started all this. I didn't worry about it. It didn't affect me. I wasn't really interested. But I did see the reaction it had that gay people had to it.
Yep.
And the pure emotion that came out.
Yep.
When the yes vote got through, and I couldn't understand absolutely. That.
Yeah.
But I do now.
Yep.
It's not the fact that gay people want to get married. It's the fact that that was denied to us.
It's the right of equality, isn't it?
It's our right.
Yep.
And I think the book is a natural progression from that, that we have rights.
Yes.
And why should we live this life of seclusion, of over there and don't talk about us?
Yep.
And I think I have progressed in the last 3 years, where now this is not just on the radio here, this is all over the place at the moment.
Absolutely, absolutely. And good on you, Bob, because it's a very brave thing you've done. Are you seeing
repercussions? It worries me when people keep saying it's a brave thing.
I actually mean that in a complimentary manner, as in not a fearful manner, more a complimentary manner, because I think when you carry a story like this, to actually verbalise it and put it out in the platform, and you come from a small... Well, Colac is a small community. It's still a substantial town, but it's a small community, and obviously there are repercussions that you actually want out of, you know, telling your story, and that you'll hear about those and they will impact you. So I guess that's what I meant by bravery. But I think what a great thing to do. You've helped everybody by telling your story.
Thank you. Hopefully.
Yeah.
Hopefully people see it that way.
Yep. One of the things we both came to understand, I mean, in the 1980s as a journalist, I kind of didn't care about being respectable. I was quite happy to be a queer radical and sit with that. But what I realised when I started working on a book like this with Bob, that, you know, that respectability is so important to so many GLBTQ, you know, plus people.
Yeah.
And for us, in the country, it matters a lot more than
it's
it
amplified,
does
isn't
in a really urban environment. To the extent that, you know, you see how much difference there is in your job prospects and the further you move away from major metropolitan areas. And what Bob has learned, because Bob's 71 and I'm 55, he's been through, a different type of gay life in Australia. And his experience is not dissimilar to a great many other men who've lived in regional parts of Australia.
Yeah.
Hundreds of them out there.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's true.
And the more people that come out as gay people, the more important that is.
Yeah, absolutely. It's the connection, isn't it? And it's that validation that I'm not the only one, you know, who feels like this, or I'm not the only one who, you know, believes in this. And when we're connected to the stories of others, and I think storytelling is such a powerful, powerful platform, because all the emotion comes out and we can all relate to the emotions.
Well, that was the thing. Yeah. When we started the book, we made the decision that we weren't going to leave any elephants in the room. And I think if you've read the book, you know we haven't. There's not much we haven't mentioned.
Yeah.
There's nowhere for
us
to hide.
We're not hiding. We're not hiding. One disappointment thing that I would like to say, that we have had a couple of adverse reactions from my family.
Yeah.
Which disappoints me, being the youngest. All mine are older. They're all in their 80s.
Yeah.
And I understand that.
Yeah.
But they haven't even read the book.
Yeah,
they won't read the book because it might be a bit tacky.
Yeah, right.
And that's sad.
Well, on that note, we do actually have to wrap the show because it's almost midday. Bob and Neil, we really thank you for being the final guests on our show today. It's been really interesting to hear your story. And I recommend that everyone go out and grab a copy of the book, The Devil's Grip by Neil Drynan.
Saturday Magazine on Joy 94.9, proudly sponsored by Virgin Australia. Visit virginaustralia.com.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.